Well, I want to officially welcome everybody to the 2019 Easter program. The kids have been working very hard, working on their poems and working on their songs, and they're excited to get in and share those. But to bring them in, we're going to pull out the brown books. We're going to sing hymn 509, Christ Arose. So if you could pull out those brown books now, 509, Christ Arose.
Thank you. Here's a little Easter story for you. The best part about it is it's true.
The other very best part is it can live inside your heart.
Easter isn't about a bunny or eggs all colored bright and funny.
It's about God who made you and me, wanting us with him eternally.
God is the king who wants us to obey, but each of us sometimes has gone our own way.
So punishment is to our face, but Jesus came to take our place.
God sent Jesus so he could die, the wrath of God to satisfy.
He conquered death, rose from the grave, and those who trust him he will save.
He wants us to live with him in glory, but he wants us to choose our own story.
Will your story end doing your own thing or trusting him to be your king?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
He was there with his Father before there was time, and created the sky and the sea. And the road to Golgotha he willingly climbed to give hope to a soul like me.
The splendor of heaven he wanted to share with me, though I was sinful from birth.
Though it meant the cross, he counted a loss in order to give my soul worth.
He showed me the way that he wants me to live by the way that he lived for me, how dying brings life and how giving brings gain and surrender the chance to be free.
He gave me the hope of a much better home, which he now prepares for me up above. And the nails in his hands and the scars on his feet help me to understand love.
He shows me the pleasures of walking in him as I live out the moment at hand. He shows me the value of trusting in God even when I do not understand.
He shows me strength so sufficiently able to conquer the grandest of tasks, and he promises he will be all that I need for whatever it is that he asks.
He will be there tomorrow with all the joys and sorrows. I yet do not know he will be there the day that I take my last breath. He will welcome me home when I go.
So looking to him, I take courage each day, and each joy and each trial on my face. For when I look at Jesus on Calvary's cross, I find peace in God's promise of grace.
You're alive. turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin.
Sometimes I wonder just what it was like in the beginning when God first made light, when he thought up the plants and the flowers and trees and the rivers and streams and the hippos and bees.
Sometimes I wonder how it was back then in the Garden of Eden before there was sin, when for Adam and Eve every sky was bright blue and the communion with God was all that they knew.
Sometimes I wonder about post-garden days and how prone we are to depart from God's ways. Sometimes I wonder why we are so much like sheep, so prone to wander and rules not keep. Sometimes I wonder of all of life's pain and all of the heartache that's hard to explain. Life's hardest questions with answers unspoken, that's how it is in a world that is broken.
But more so I ponder God's love and his grace and his heart for the children he longs to embrace, his plan to pursue fallen man lovingly, and his promise, I'll make you a way back to me.
I ponder with wonder the depth of a love that would leave all the glory of heaven above, to walk among men in a world cold and rough, so that we know who God is and his love enough.
I ponder the plan of God Most High, how the wrath of sin he satisfied, when he gave his Son as a sacrifice, because only his blood was sufficient a price.
I ponder the Savior of Calvary, who would have died for only me. I cling to his love, which will not let me go, and I pray for the many who his love don't know.
I presume that even the moment he speaks and reveal himself to the soul that seeks, I lay down my life and give him control, for all my brokenness he can make whole.
I pray on this Easter you'd seek him as well, and you wouldn't give up until you too can tell of the beauty that's coming and already is, because living inside you because Jesus lives.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. John 15:40.
I wonder sometimes when I look at the cross what it would have been like to be one of those who was there when our Lord gave his life on Calvary.
I wonder about the despair of those who had left everything to follow the promised Redeemer when they saw the crucified King.
I wonder how his mother felt as she watched her firstborn son. Was she aware in the seeming defeat that a victory had been won?
I wonder about the disciples for whom he had fervently prayed. Was there somewhere some hope in their hearts, or were they completely dismayed?
I wonder about the believers who followed him there to the cross. Did they trust that somehow it would be worth it, or did they count it all lost?
I wonder about those who mocked him, what they felt as they watched him die. Did it bring them satisfaction, or deep down inside, did they cry?
I wonder 2,000 years later what from his story was gleaned. We know that he rose from the grave, but what does the cross mean?
Do we rest in the gift that he gave us when he shed his blood that day? Is it a gift we've accepted or one we have turned away?
What do the people around us make of this story so old? Is it a story that changed their lives or a story that is simply told?
Are we among those who will praise, who will rejoice in the power the cross still holds? Are we among those who will stand in the power, or who will stand in the place where no one grows old?
The cross was God's plan to redeem us long before we came to be. Through it, we can share in his glory throughout all of eternity.
In one sense, this story is old, and yet it breathes hope each day new. Today, take a moment to ponder just what the cross means to you.
This is the time. This mic with your group. The Bible class will now conclude our Easter program with our fourth annual dramatic reading, where we take a sermon excerpt that's really inspired us and connected with what we've been learning about in class. This year is called Behold Him.
Let's look at Romans 8:15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Let me pause here.
What are you afraid of? Maybe you're afraid you're not pretty enough.
Maybe you're afraid of dying.
Maybe you're afraid that your wayward son or daughter may never come home to Christ.
We do not have to be afraid. Listen to this.
Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father.
Not only does He adopt us and bring us into His family.
It says that's what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure.
Followers of Christ, I want you to engage in this.
I think for many of us, we go, I know God loves me, but does He like me? Does God really like me? And one of the reasons we think that is because we think that God's love for us in the first place is based on what we do or don't do.
So we need to stop that faulty theology, because God's love for you is based on what Christ and Christ alone has done.
If you can do something to make God love you or like you more than He does now, then you eclipse what Jesus has done. And don't get it twisted. No one can eclipse what beautiful Jesus has done.
God's affection for you is rooted in His affection for Jesus. And when you and I get that, really get that,
you know what it does?
It makes us passionate worshipers. It makes us adore Him.
Our minds are blown away with the epicness of His grace.
That's what happens.
And it says He takes great pleasure in us. Zephaniah 3:17 says that God sings and dances over you.
It's messing with your mind, isn't it?
God sings and dances over you because He sings and dances over His Son, Jesus.
And because you are in His Son, Jesus, He sings and dances over you.
And what's going to change your behavior is not looking at how messed up you are, but looking at how great He is.
Can we preach for just a minute? Would you behold Jesus? Would you just behold Him?
Don't be a spiritual narcissist. Am I doing something right? Am I doing something wrong?
Behold Jesus in His glorious love through the Spirit's power. We'll take care of all of that.
Behold Him.
God is delighting and singing and dancing over you.
Everything that you and I have can be taken away from us.
Everything that you and I have can be stripped away.
Except for this.
You are a beloved daughter of the King.
You are an adopted son of the Father.
Wow. Did we see God this afternoon with the program? Did we see who God was? I loved this morning, and I loved hearing about who climbed up in a tree to try and see God better. Say the kids remember, who climbed up in a tree? Are we willing to climb up in a tree to get a better view of who God is? Do we want to really see who God is? Zacchaeus, climb up in a tree. There's a theologian that said something that I think is so important. He said, we tend to move towards our mental image of God. We tend to move towards our mental image of God or who we see God to be. And he said it's like a secret law of our soul. We tend to move towards our mental image of God. So what do we see? And I would propose that we see a God who gives. But what does he give? Does he give, I know a lot of us are almost ready to move out of Indy, and we maybe wouldn't have an Indy church if spring didn't come. And some of us give up hope when it snows in April. But what did he give spring? He did give spring, and he gave mountains and waterfalls and beaches, right? He gave things. But maybe more so along the lines of when God looked down and he saw the conflict, he saw the battle, he saw the suffering in the world, what did he give? Did he send a Red Cross shipment of parcels for us to have? Did he send in the Marines, right? Saved us in World War II and the beaches? No, he didn't send the Marines. And I think this is a little bit hard for us, and we struggle with this concept, but God gave himself. And I think we struggle with that concept a little bit because of the implications of it. This morning, I don't know about you guys, but the ability to get books through Amazon, it's like a true addiction. And if you could see my office right now, and I've gotten now to where I have to sneak the books out of the mailbox before Elisa gets to them, and then I get up really early in the morning when she's not, when nobody's awake yet to read my books. And I was doing that this morning, and in my defense, somebody else sent this particular book to me, and I was reading it this morning, and I heard a crash, and then I had gotten Bree out of the crib as my great contribution to the morning and getting ready. I turned off her monitor, got her out of the crib, and she was running around somewhere while I was in my office reading my book. And I heard a crash, and then I heard a cry. This was dilemma, right? I have a coffee. I have my book. I've got my mood lights on. So I could send... Well, nobody was up. Grayson was within earshot. I could have yelled for Grayson. I could have sent my voice, it's okay. It's okay, Bree. You'll be all right. But what did Bree want? She wanted me, right? So I, in a big effort of move of sacrifice, I went out and got Bree. Now, what did that mean probably for the rest of my morning? Yeah, Bree was in my office, right? She'd busted through the doors. I had given her myself. And God gives himself to us. That's what he gives. And we struggle a little bit with it. I love the message this morning in Matthew 20 where, don't we struggle with this? We kind of think, in God's kingdom, maybe we can get our thing. We think in God's kingdom, like we learned this morning, James and John said, you know, can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand in the kingdom? And we kind of want a hierarchical kingdom, right? We kind of want the ability to compare ourselves and do better than others. We kind of want positions of leadership. And this was a bit embarrassing. And Jesus said, yeah, you can be leaders in my kingdom, but you're going to have to give yourself, because that's what I do. You're going to serve. And then we learned one of the next acts that Jesus did was he washed the disciples' feet. Then who was raising their hand to be great in the kingdom of heaven, right? So we get a little bit afraid about God giving himself. That might mean we're going to have to give more of ourselves. Maybe we think in the end it'll be different and God will be, Jesus will be a king then instead of giving himself. And I heard a preacher once wrote recently, actually in the book I was reading this morning, this author went to Revelation 5, and in Revelation 5 there's a big commotion, and there's the book that nobody can open, and they're weeping and they're sad because nobody can open this book. And then there's a hush over the crowd, and all the hosts of heaven look, and who comes? And everybody bows before. And what do they bow before? Is it a king with a great entourage? It was a wounded lamb, the suffering Savior, right? Jesus still, an image of Jesus giving himself. So then the challenge becomes, we know a little bit if we let God in, a little bit, can we, like Zacchaeus, let God in? Can we look for him and let him into our home and let him change our heart? I just want to end with, I think the story of Jacob wrestling with God is sweet. And to think of the end of that, two things happened. One, Jacob wrestled with God and then he left with a limp, right? We're not sure we want God to get too close. We're worried about the limp. But secondly, God gave him a new name, gave him a purpose, gave him a calling. So as his adopted sons and daughters, can we look to being okay with the limp and look to his calling for our lives? We're going to, is there a prayer? I'll finish with a prayer, and then we're going to sing hymn 358. All right, let's arise and pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the program. Thank you for the reminder that when you came, you even referred yourself as the Son of Man, that you came, you didn't send in a cavalry or the Marines, you came yourself, and you came to show us your way and your kingdom, and we pray that you could help to set us free in our hearts, free to love, free to accept you as our Heavenly Father, as a child, once their father. Be with these kids as they move forward into the spring and into the summer. We pray for the relationships with their families. Pray that you be with us, the whole Indy Church. Pray you be with our Indianapolis community. We pray that we could behold your beauty and that we would stand in awe and accept your gift of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's hymn 358.
That concludes our program. Thank you all for coming.